Hello everyone, welcome back to another episode of Free Kick On Air, our live Twitter recording where we react to the teams of the week. You join us here this week, not right at the beginning of the recording owing to a few technical difficulties, but what you do join us for is the moment that we get Friday, Saturday and Sunday night's teams with me and Jono talking about all the big news and all the big trade options for the week. Hopefully you enjoy and get something useful for your trades this week. Cheers.
So first off the block, we've got Brisbane and Collingwood tomorrow night up in Brisbane. Out for Brisbane is Kate Lutkins and in comes Sophie Peters. So Jono, you've still got Lutkins rolling around on the bench.
I do. I now have a red dot on what I think is going to be my utility now.
And in a really great time slot for you to use it this week.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and then for Collingwood, Sarah Sansonetti and Selena Carlson are out and in come Jordan Ivey, who wasn't even on the list 2 weeks ago, and Muren Atkinson, who had missed after round one with a concussion. I do get a little concerned about Selena Carlson going out. I think it might shuffle the decks a bit more in defence for Collingwood, which I don't know is great for Allen or Ruby scoring.
Yeah. Look, it's a short-term play. I know bringing in Allen that she'll be out in 2 weeks' time after the double week. But, yeah, that does give me a bit of cause for concern.
Yeah, all right. I reckon I'm going to just race through all the ins and outs and then we might go talk back about some of the key ones. So Sydney, a lot of names out. Kira Hillier, Brooke Lachlan and Ali Morfitt. Wow. And Eliza Vale are all out. In Holly Cooper, Maddie Collier, Alana Woodward and Lexi Hamilton. And then for Richmond, Charlie Ryan, it's only out after one game, and then in comes Ailish Sheeran, which shouldn't come as a surprise. She'd been named as a test but firming to play when injury lists had come out earlier in the week. For Carlton, out Jess Del Poss and Lila Keck, and then in come Kira Fitzgerald and Maddie Hendry. Geelong Cats, my word, out Georgie Prasparkas.
Wow.
In Rachel Kearns. That is huge. Then for Port Adelaide, we've got Janelle Cuthbertson out, unfortunately, with an ACL injury, and in comes Maddie Kerrick. Then out for Fremantle, we've got Amy Mulholland, Tanisha Koch, and Joanne Craig. In comes Sarah Verrier, Ariana Hetherington, and Gabby Beedenweg-Webster, so Jono's favourite player in the competition, comes in for the week. Moving on to the Sunday games, named in are Brooke Smith, Tia Charlton, and Jess Waterhouse. Just double checking. All three haven't been named on an extended bench. And then for Hawthorn, only one out in Casey Sheriff. In comes Emily Bates, who has been named. She's named on an extended bench, but they've done theirs in number order. Also, Talia Fellows, Louise Stevenson, and Laura Elliott. For Melbourne, they've got no outs. In are Georgia Gall, Lily Johnson, and Denby Taylor. Just having a look. Georgia Gall has been named on field as a forward, which doesn't surprise me hugely. They definitely looked undersized, and they're going to need to be finding their best balance in the ruck. And then Johnson and Taylor have both been named extended bench. For North Melbourne, no outs. In come Alice O'Loughlin, which shouldn't come as a surprise, already been named on field. And then Erica O'Shea and Liz McGrath. So that means that for everyone, you know, who's there listening, Ruby Tripodi has been named on an extended bench, albeit last week the extended bench last three named had ultimately been the three that were omitted as emergencies. Then we've got Essendon out. Is Emily Goff. In comes Paige Scott, Amber Clark, Elise Gamble, and Georgia G. So a lot of big ins there for the Bombers. I would not be surprised if all four of them are straight into the team. So could see a raft of changes. It's going to be fascinating to see what happens at 5 o'clock. And then there's no outs for St Kilda. And then in come Emily Fiedler, Maddie Boyd, and Nat Plain. Fiedler being someone that people had been using as their ruck loop, given she'd had a lot of favourable Sunday schedules, but has actually been named in the ruck, interestingly. And Renee Karras has been named on an extended bench, as has Sim Nolder. So it'll be fascinating to see which one they ultimately pick as their backup ruck. All right, well, that's all the teams. Just kind of going back through them, we already mentioned what was going on at Collingwood. Huge out for Sydney in Ali Morfitt, which I think that really does like solve the, for anyone that had her and was querying whether or not they should just continue to hold and hope that she might come good, I think that answers the question.
Yeah, it definitely has to go. And also, like, Sydney needed a rester. She was really struggling, wasn't showing anything like she was last year.
No, not even close. I definitely think it's a case of they pushed her too hard, in particularly because I think Lexi Hamilton, having been suspended for the first two weeks, meant that they were probably down an extra tall to be able to run a nice ruck rotation. And it definitely showed that Morph was just trying to push through and didn't look healthy. I would also say that in terms of cheap options, Maddie Collier before her concussion, she's a 361K defender. She was scored 26 off 50, but 48% game time. Someone who scored, I think, averaged like a 45 or a 50 before. So it definitely something to watch there. Yeah, maybe defender you could pick up if you were so inclined. And then obviously we've got the big in of Ayla Sheeran for Richmond. I'm sure there are people thinking, you know, we were very hot in the preseason. Would you consider just launching straight into her this week?
Oof, I'm always very hesitant off injuries. So I think I'm probably going to give it a week. But I would hope to be, if it's what we saw in the preseason, then I'd probably hope to be on by the time that they get to their round five double week.
Yeah, agreed. I think the real conundrum is the fact that they play Carlton next week, which has been extremely fruitful for midfielders. So that's Rowbottom, 161, 92 from Whitford, and then it was 10-something or other for 96 West.
For Allard West, yeah.
Yeah, definitely some scoring available to midfielders, and it's a real consideration. Look, I definitely think that I would not be shocked if she's on managed minutes this week. And she was never a massively high time on ground player just because of the way that she plays. So yeah, it's not one that I'm going to launch into just this week.
Well, speaking of players I'm not going to launch into, I think the big winner from this is Poppy Kelly, who could come in with a third 65-plus score. It's probably going to rise another 60, 70K.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ridiculous. I've seen that coming. Imagine if we'd had Montana McKinnon.
Yeah, exactly. I do think, though, that the writing is on the wall for Tam Luke to come in, and I would not be shocked if it's next week, going up against Carlton's tall timber. There was an article going around and there was a bit of a mention of the fact that they're liking where Tam's fitness is at now after, you know, her own preseason training block. And they want to try and have her training and playing so that she's ready towards the end of the season. But it sounds like she's a real possibility to play next week. So if you've got Poppy Kelly, then that's just something to keep in mind, that you might have a shorter time frame than you'd be hoping for. For Carlton and Geelong, Georgie P out. This feels very much like Morfitt, if you ask me.
Yeah.
This is
going to cause a bit of a reshuffle. I'm just trying to figure out who's going to cover her in the midfield.
Maloney, I would say.
Malone. Yeah, but Maloney was already in there a fair bit. Like
not, she had, not she had, she's not had nearly, she's not had as many CBAs as I was expecting. I would say, she's gone.
I think 50% last week.
50% last week.
But they've only, like, outside of their two rucks in Derby and Featherstone, they've only run four people through the middle, and they're just very, very consistent. So I think there's got to be someone else that comes in, surely.
I do wonder if it's Webster.
Yeah. Yeah, now I'm rethinking my trades, because there was a version where I had Webster in.
Yeah, that would certainly be fun, going up against a matchup that allows scoring everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one is... That's a fascinating little play. How much actually is Beck Webster at this stage?
I think she's like 890 something.
898.
Yeah.
Oof, that is a fascinating one. And then for Carlton.
The other one. Yeah. Oh, sorry. The other one for Geelong is, it's not necessarily an in, but Megan McDonald is getting so ridiculously cheap off the back of a 12 and a 6. And those have got to be her two lowest scores in her entire career. I don't think it's going to continue forever, but she's now priced at 336. I think if you're looking for a bench defender, there are far worse options out there, because she's usually around the 40 to 50 mark.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And it may actually be that in, you know, a couple of weeks' time, she's a downgrade, particularly if we're wanting to avoid like red dot issues or shuffling issues during the double game weeks, where we might be locking in trades early in the round. I think Meg Mack is definitely a good call. And if anything, for Geelong, I think that for anyone that's trading in for as well, I think the fact that Georgie's out is a sign that there's going to be more points on offer.
Yeah.
And interestingly enough, Abby McDonald has held.
Yeah.
That's we were all hotter in the preseason.
Yeah.
How much is she at this stage?
I think she lost cash. I think she's down to like
312K. Yeah. She had 48% time on ground. I'm sure in, you know, no small part to the fact that she was very late in.
Mm.
It's again, another name we could watch out for as a downgrade target in defense.
Absolutely.
And then for Carlton, I know that we don't read too much into team sheets, but interestingly, Maddie Guerin has been named off halfback.
Yeah, I definitely can't. I don't believe that at all.
I definitely think that that's just a flip. Or, you know, Mimi Hill would have been named at halfback last week, and she's now been named in the middle. So I think that's the only notable thing there. You know, if anyone's holding out hope for the fact that DV may play on the wing again, they've named Kira Fitzgerald. Who would also play off halfback in the wing. So I think that experiment is now well and truly dead for at least this week. For Fremantle, I don't know if we've got necessarily any big...
Oh, I was just going to say, it's at the very least, we've also got Maddie Hendry back into the team, which is one that I think is notable.
Yeah, another one of the... She scored a 40-something in week one and then missed last week with the illness.
Yeah. Just has one of the lowest break-evens of the game at the moment. So
yeah. We didn't think we had many rookie defensive downgrade options, and they appear to be just continuing to pop up for us.
Yeah.
Port Adelaide and Fremantle, look, I think that this is an interesting game for fantasy reasons for the players that were already in the team. I don't think we've seen many, many big changes. Have you decided on who you're going to field?
I think I'm still sticking with Shanae Goody, which I don't know. She's been the lowest scorer out of her and Sashi Syme every week. But it's just watching her. I feel like she's going to have one of these big games.
Oh, I definitely think she will at some point, like she did in the preseason. It's just, is she going to be given the space to do it, or will she, you know, struggle going up against teams that are playing not preseason football? But she was getting a lot of space in that game against Melbourne.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's kind of it for the teams that have been named. For the kind of teams that have been named on Sunday, did you have like anyone that was like highly owned that you thought might have been at risk of Well, actually, maybe there's... Oh, there was a game that didn't pop up earlier. I did feel like we were short. Yeah, we've got GWS and the Gold Coast. Hadn't come up when I'd first reloaded the page. So out, big one, Courtney Murphy. So that was the other, you know, potential ruck that we had to be concerned about has been named out. And then in Gemma Ramsdale, Jess Doyle, Caitlin Miller, and Alicia Newman, all four of whom have been named on an extended bench. And then for Gold Coast, Katie Lynch is out, and in come Lauren McConville, Cara McCrossan, Mira Gervin, and Taya Oliver. It was Lauren McConville who'd been named in, wasn't it?
Confirmed debutante. Yeah,
she's been named off half forward. And then McCrossan and Gervin and Oliver have all been named on an extended bench. I would be surprised if they were to play. And interestingly enough, Ella K. Smith has held.
Well, so far, yes.
Well, for the time being, but she's also a watch for being dropped after some quieter performances. And Taya Oliver has definitely played as a winger in the Quaffle and as a junior. So just a name to watch out there. Mm. I was going to say, is there any ins or outs from any of the Sunday games that really speak to you? I think the big one out is Courtney Murphy. That's huge.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out who at the Giants was going to come in because it was Alicia Newman. She was suspended, wasn't she, for those first two rounds?
She was, I think.
Yeah, so I would have thought she would be straight into that forward line. I think they're lacking a bit of pace up forward.
Yes, they're lacking quite a lot in the forward line. But at the very least, you know, Courtney Murphy, as much as GWS talked up her ability as a forward when they wrote those preseason articles, she is a ruck kind of by trade, albeit only having played one game. I think that might be the tick of approval you might need if you're wavering on running with O'Dowd as your first ruck.
Mm. Yeah, no, it does feel like it's very clear they're pretty settled on having her. And there's no sign of Fleur Davis, which is always nice to see.
No, that is certainly going to fill me with some confidence if I do go with that trade. All right, we've got, 20 or so odd minutes. I was going to run through some of the questions that we've got, and I think there's one important one. It's from Bales. Who is the best ruck worth bringing in at 300K if you want a red dot? And then also kind of what's a cheap ruck that you would bring in for cash generation?
Ooh, okay. I think for cash generation, I think Eleanor Hartle has held from what I can see.
Yep. That was,
I think she's got the best cash generating ability of anyone.
Yeah.
Around that mark. It's a little bit more expensive.
Yes. But I think that there are some questions you can ask about the fact that, she didn't debut until round two, week two, because the other option at a similar price who is named to play as well is Georgie Cleaver, who has, looks like she may have worse scoring prospects, but probably has some better job security. That would be my only thing. But I definitely think that Hartill has the better scoring potential, cash generation potential, and is also an older, more experienced player. In terms of red dots, Bales has mentioned here Georgie Jarks from Port Adelaide. Now, I think that, there's some potential that she can be used. I will just say, though, she did her ACL at round 7 or round 8 last year, but she is still training and is not on the inactive list. So her return to play is TBA, but there's definitely potential that she returns. So she's not a guaranteed red dot in the way that we would typically like someone who is just guaranteed not to play. The one that I would say is, again, it's not 300K, it's a bit frustrating, but it's Jacinta Hose from Melbourne. She's 328K. and he's already on the inactive list and guaranteed not to play for Melbourne. Melbourne have some okay opening fixtures, but they do, obviously being a bigger club in the W, have some ones earlier in the round. I think those are the two that I would say you could, like, I think you could still take Jarks, knowing that she's still going to have to recover from a knee injury. So she is still injured at the moment. But if you're willing to pay up, then Hose is guaranteed not to play.
I'm not as concerned about the playing early in the round as other seasons, mainly because I'm thinking between rounds 4 to 7.
Yeah.
Like, realistically, what are you using your VC for?
You're just using it for someone
who plays the double week, and you're just doing it in case they get injured or suspended or they're rested for the second game 4 days later.
Yeah.
So as long as you're, I think that to me is an absolutely fine situation to bring in someone, even if they play on a Friday and a Saturday morning often.
Yeah, and I also would say that I think that with the double game weeks, those quadruple captain scores are going to be super important. And so making sure that you're at no risk of getting caught out with a red dot that may ultimately play, I think it'd absolutely be advisable to be going a guaranteed. Yeah.
It would be a pretty big disaster if you had Ali Anderson go 160 in the first game and then your red dot is named on the Friday and you can't take that score. That would be a disaster. Exactly.
I think it would be, it would be a concern for week 6 would be when I'd be concerned if you went Jarks. Like, there is potential she might be back, and that would just throw a million spanners in the works. So I would be paying up for the guarantee on that front. If you were going for basically bargain basement ruck as the trade-in or, the, you know, the trade-down option from your premium, do you prefer Emily Fiedler, rookie, first game, never played before, or Jess Vukic, who's 304K?
I'd probably go Jess Vukic just because I don't see her falling out of the Hawks side anytime soon. While St Kilda's playing 3 rucks this week, unless they drop
3 names, but it's extended bench. So I assume they'll drop. My guess is they'll drop Renee Carras.
Yeah, I would be nervous about that. I think they're going to rotate a lot of the season. So unless you, if you're looking for cash generation, which I assume if you're naming someone, you're going for cash generation. Yeah. I would have thought Vukic is the sort of player who could sort of
burn slowly.
As a youngster, ease into the season, get more comfortable and start putting up better scores as the season goes on.
Yeah, that would be my thinking. I think that there's a very real possibility that Fiedler plays 40% time on ground, plays maybe 1 to 2 weeks, and then he's, you know, rested, dropped for 3 or 4. She's very raw, having owned, like, I think she was still playing like uni footy for Curtin 4 seasons ago. And learned to play footy in Malaysia. So, like, fascinating story. But I do wonder how much he holds in that side. So I think Vukic, like, at the moment, that's where I'm considering going.
Would you go the extra 20-odd, 30-odd K that it takes to get to Celine Moody?
Oh, I did. I kid you not. I was having this conversation when Fiedler got named because that's who I'd had in just as my placeholder. She scored 12 last week?
She did, but she also, I feel like I saw her at one point holding her knee and running off the field. And I think she came back on, but I was a bit worried about that. I would have thought if she's been named again, then she'll be fine. And eventually they've got to play easier opponents.
Well, yeah. I don't think that last week was that hard, though, is the problem.
No, but if it's, you know, the top of the table Hawks in the first week, and then she gets a knock in the second week, and then they play Geelong this week, it's a tough run.
It is a tough
one. Eventually, they've got to put up an easier one.
They do. I agree. That's also going to be quite a slow burn because I don't think she's going to play in the ruck either.
Very, very low chance of that. If she gets more than 15% of time in the middle, it'd be a big surprise.
And at the moment, I actually think that whomever the resting ruck is out of Good and Brianne are better forwards than Celine is. That's my thinking.
Plus, Mia Austin has really come on. She looks great this year.
She does. She has those real bursts she's like got some very exciting moments. I think it's going to be she's going to be a top line forward in 2 to 3. All right, moving on to another question, and this is an interesting one. It's which do you prefer for the next kind of 3 games? Is it Ella Roberts playing tonight, or is it Izzy Pritchard also playing tonight?
Oh, it's a tough one. Prior to the season, I almost certainly would have gone Roberts. But, yeah, it hasn't been the most inspiring start for her. And I really don't like that when Swanson and Harkin were in the team, that her CBAs dropped away. I think she only had a little less than half. So I think I'd stick with Pritchard. I think Pritchard looked pretty good last week. And I agree, she did leave points on the table. I think I'd lean there.
Yeah, I think I'm the same. I think Roberts going into the harder matchups that West Coast have got next week would have me worried that she might spend more time.
The tough thing with fixtures is that they've got the exact same Brisbane and Collingwood duo.
Yep, I agree. It's more how much time will she spend at the ball, or will she be cast as a marking target up forward, kind of, you know, spinning her wheels and not getting a whole lot done. That might be the reason I'd prefer Pritchard. Okay. All right. Is it worth going Conti for Anderson this week if it means you can bring in Benici next week from Corey Blackledge?
Yeah. No, we've talked about this a lot today. Because I can't see it being worthwhile, but it's also the whole question about this, the whole part of this question that I struggle with is I would never in a regular season go Conti to Anderson. To me, it's a sideways move. It's hard to chase the top scores. The problem is that we've got the different bye rounds or double week. I'm really unsettled on whether or not it's worth kind of getting in as many of those week four options as you can, and then just moving three across every week. Because I think that is going to be the strategy. My main issue is once you get Anderson in, you're not going to sideways them.
Yeah, it is a tough one.
And so it kind of limits your options for those sideways. Whilst I think Conti is one that after she has her double week, you could move up to a Garner and I'd be happy with that.
Yeah. And or I actually think kind of casting ahead a week, I do wonder if Garner is someone that is rested a little bit more on the bench during the North matchups versus Riddell, who I think kind of is a couple of years younger and doesn't have that same just rest forward capability. But yes, I agree. I think it's going to be a real conundrum. I think that, you know, if you're committing to a strategy where you'd be happy to sideways Ali Anderson to a premium and continue that train going, then so be it. Like, I think that's perfectly fine to go across to Anderson this week. But you can't make that trade not expecting to be aggressive, I think would be what I'd say.
Yeah, that's the sort of trade where I'd be looking at my team and sort of projecting the next couple rounds where I'm looking at doing my trades. Because, if I didn't have any week four players at the moment, then I would probably do it.
Yeah.
Because I think there are very few captain options in that week. She's by far going to be the best one. So it's if you have a couple captain options already for that round, then I'd be less inclined. If you don't, it's a maybe.
Yeah, it's a definite maybe. Here's a question from Mitch Casey of Ball Boys Fantasy Podcast fame and also on the Fantasy Fanatics. Jordan Allen moved forward line in the last quarter last week and scored well. Should we be encouraged or worried?
I would have thought she is one that can move up and down the ground, more so on the wing than forward usually. But I think she's a good mark, and so I'm not too worried by that.
No, neither.
To me, that was just that in that last half, Hawthorn were all over Collingwood. And I think they were just trying things to change it up entirely. I don't think it's going to be their go-to strategy.
Yeah, no.
I also don't think it, I know she scored well, but I don't think it worked for Collingwood. So no. wouldn't expect them.
You know, I was saying earlier that the fact that Selina Carlson has been named out is a bit of a worry for defenders. I actually think that if you're worried about Allen spending that much time up forward, I think that Selina Carlson being out is a good thing for Collingwood because it does mean there's a defensive spot there and open. And at the moment, two of the five defenders that have been named are first-year players in Amber Shute and Lucy Cronin. I think that if you were going to query who's going to play forward, it'll be Jordan Ivey, who's come in kind of at the back end of the bench. I think she'd be the one that is a bit more of a marking target inside 50 because that's really what Collingwood are missing. Like the fact that they've got no Nell Morris-Dalton and they haven't managed to find someone else who can be a marking target inside 50, or the fact they've had to turn Sabs Frederick back into a full-time ruck. I think that that's probably what they're going to do, and I think putting Allen in there robs a bit of Peter to pay Paul. So I wouldn't be overly concerned. And if anything, we know Allen can score well up the ground. It's not like throwing someone who's really not spent a lot of time up there, kind of like when Charlie Thomas was thrown to centre-half forward in week 9 last year, and we were all sitting there going, why are you doing this? She's not good at this. This is not making your team better.
No.
All right. So here's a question from the Robertinas. Can Schilling be fielded? Do we feel like she's going to revert back, or was that something more sustainable?
Sorry, I missed the name. I think you cut out for a second.
Schilling.
Schilling, yeah. I'm probably not looking to field, but I would feel more comfortable fielding her than a lot of the other rookies back there. So if I was bringing in, an Atkinson or a Collier or a Hendry, I would comfortably field Schilling above all those players. But I'm currently bringing her in as my defender bench, and I've got to be honest, I feel a lot better about that than anything else.
Yeah. It was 13 disposals, 11 of them were intercepts. I think the matchup is good this week, but this might be the only week that I think she might score more than 30. Would be where I'm at. I think there's I'd be very concerned.
I think some intercepting players can do well, but it's very rare that you see a first-year player come in and do it.
Well, played under 10 games, played one, I think, six or seven throughout her career. Yeah. Here's a question from Just Quietly. If money is not a problem, how do you decide between Friswell and O'Loughlin? Which do you prefer?
Yeah, that's it's one that I've been tossing at myself. I think...
Add in Chelsea Randall there too.
Yeah. Well, Chelsea Randall we can't get because she's playing the Hawks, and that breaks my rules about trading in players who play the Hawks. I think Alice O'Loughlin... I like it. I think as a small forward, though, I would have imagined that the role is going to be slightly less consistent. I know North have been, dominant, are going to continue to be dominant. But I like that Friswell, pretty much no matter where the game's going to be, she's going to be around the ball, which I like.
Yeah.
So I'd probably lean there.
Yeah, I think that's why I'd lean to Friswell. Yeah. I think that they're probably, if you're going to go on a, points per dollar basis, I wouldn't be shocked if they average out very similarly.
Yeah, no, for sure.
I think they're still both value, but I think that if money is no object, I'd prefer going for Friswell.
There's been a lot of times this week where I've not, instead of taking Friswell, I've gone down to O'Loughlin and I've seen how much further that gets me from Allen, and I don't like anyone more expensive to change the trades.
Yeah. The other option at the O'Loughlin level, and it's not one we discussed earlier in the week, but it's one that I've been mulling, is Dakota Davidson, who key forward, clearly the best key forward in that team at Brisbane, has the cushiest of cushy matchups, but probably isn't going to get rested on the bench. Like if it's an absolute shellacking, she'll sit in the goal square and should score all right. I think... if you really were worrying that you might not have enough players on that week 4, and you couldn't, and like you're looking for someone to pivot to, I would absolutely tick this off. My question, and I haven't actually weighed it up yet, but would, you know, it's been something that I've seen people throwing in questions and teams that I've seen. Which do you prefer, Dakota Davidson or, oh my goodness, what's her name from the Eagles? Will was going to trade her in, Kelly Gibson.
Yeah, no, I think I would absolutely go with Dakota Davidson over Gibson. I think Gibson is one that is going to be up and down because I just think West Coast, when they're playing these top tier teams, I think they're really going to struggle.
Yeah.
So I think, he's going to be consistent. You know, it's hard to go against the person who kicked the most goals last season.
Yeah, and I know that she doesn't have necessarily the ceiling scores that you'd like, but if you're going to go consistency, I definitely think that's a good play. And if ever you were going to get, you know, N+2, N+3 scores from Dax, it'll be going up against Collingwood, who don't have a lot of key defenders, and then Western Coast and the Western Bulldogs.
Yeah, and she started this year fairly solidly for what we were looking at as two very, very tough matchups.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, I'd feel pretty good.
All right, well, we've only got a few minutes left before 7 o'clock and I need to race off. A question very generally, and I think it applies to a lot of the trade questions that we've got, is you're sitting there going, all right, I've got this player that I might want to trade out, a Jess Hosking, Ruby Schleicher, for example. How do we weight the fact that they've got that double game week next week? Does that mean that they're off the cards from being traded out this week completely? You don't want to touch them? Maybe same goes for a Courtney Hodder. Or is there still very much a world where you say, I'm happy to trade to someone who has a later double game week?
Yeah, I don't think they're off the table. It's more if it's something that I would put as a good reason to hold, though. So that's kind of unhelpful, isn't it? I think I'm looking at Ruby and there was no way I was going to trade Ruby this week. I think back-to-back 56s is enough for me to go, it's not hurting my team. I've got bigger concerns. Even if it was just, you know, moving rookies around to have better cash generators, I would do that before I would trade out someone like Ruby. I also think Jess Hosking, I think, you know, with the Bulldogs this week, I'd expect her to score a lot better. So yeah, I wouldn't be too concerned there. Yeah, I think there are very few of those sort of mid-priced players in any of the four teams on the round four bye that I would be looking at moving on.
Yeah. Any terms of
you would?
Yeah, at the moment there's not. Like I've considered Hosking, but I think the fact that, and that was probably something we should have named earlier on, the fact that Jamie Harkin hasn't been named, I think is a good sign. That Hosking spending more time in the middle, and I do expect her to reprise a bit of a run with role on Ellie Blackburn. I think that was something, you know, Hosking got time, particularly in that last quarter, and that's why her score popped running with Maddie Prasparkas. And that's where she got a bunch of those extra tackles by being up closer to the ball. If I'm sitting there and I'm going, you know, how can we kill, you know, destroy our, you know, absolutely boost our percentage and destroy the Western Bulldogs, you've got to try and stop Ellie Blackburn. And part of that is probably putting some pressure on her and not just giving, you know, free rein at every stoppage. That's my thinking, at least.
I know it was a loss last week, but she was so good last week. Like, she was getting absolutely clobbered and was just so tough, had plenty of clearances, had so much of the footy. I just can't imagine where they'd be without her right now.
You could say last, but they're already very.
They're already
last.
Down there, yeah.
I don't know if it's going to get any better for them.
Yeah.
All right. Have you decided on your trades? Do you know if you're going to go? Are you going to go George Stathis, or are you going to stick with Jordy Allen?
I'm still sticking with Jordy Allen, but there is a small part of me trying to figure out if there's a way I can get in Beck Webster, having now seen that Georgie Prasparkas is out of the side.
Ooh, does that mean pivoting down to Alice O'Loughlin?
It probably does, and it probably means getting a much cheaper defender than Beth Schilling. So yes. I need to do a lot of math right now. But, yeah, I think there's probably enough. It's, 100K from Friswell down to O'Loughlin, or is it less than that?
It's near bang on 100K, I think.
Yeah, so 100K from that, 100K from Schilling. That gets me 200K up on Allen, which is nowhere near enough. I'm going to need more. So,
yeah, it's 98K.
Going around here, yeah.
Well, you've got bucket loads of time. You've got 16 minutes before you need to decide. Thanks, everyone, for coming on along live this evening. Sorry if it's, you know, a slightly different structure than we typically do on these on-air recordings, but we thought that it would be good to get one in before the game started tonight, but also with teams actually being seen. And if ever there was a week to have prioritised doing it with teams having been shown, this was the week to do it. Jesus.
100%.
Like I expected a little bit of carnage. I didn't expect to see Georgie and Ali Morford out. All right. Well, you'll hear from us very soon. We're yet to lock in a specific time to do another live recording, either on Sunday or Monday, in advance of the first double game week. Hopefully, you've all got your trades locked in and you're comfortable. You haven't been thrown too much for a loop with everything that's gone on this evening. Do make sure you follow Free Kick on Twitter, you know, if you prefer it. We also have all of our episodes up going live on YouTube. Yeah, good luck, everyone, and you'll hear from us soon.
Yeah, have a great night, everyone. Enjoy the first game.
Enjoy the footy. See ya.
See ya.